Let's turn to God and let's pray. So all boys and girls, eyes closed, let's pray, talk to God. Lord God, we do thank you for this morning, this day on which we have chosen to remember our mothers. We pray that you will help us to be grateful and thankful to them and to remember all the good things that they have done for us. We do pray, our gracious God, that you would bless them and that you would help us to be nice to them, to show our gratitude and to do what they tell us. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for their love and care of us as they bore us and brought us up, and they continue to show their care for us. Remind us, our gracious God, that this is just what you do for us as well. And we pray that in remembering our mothers, we would remember you and your grace and love and kindness to us. We pray that you would help us, not just today, but every day, to do what is good and pleasing for our mums, that they will be happy with us, and also to seek to do what is pleasing to you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak to you for a little while this morning, and I've got some questions that I want to ask. So those of you that are engrossed in the drawings, well, never mind, but some of you might be able to listen. Does anybody know what the word Hosanna means? I know this is a question that you've had in Sunday school. Who knows what Hosanna means? Anybody looked it up? Anybody know the answer? It's something you could write down on your sheets for next time in Sunday school, so you can prove that you listened. Who knows what Hosanna means? Let me read you a bit of a hymn. If you want to look at it afterwards, it's 118 in Christian Hymns, which are the red books at the back. And it's number 118, All Glory, Lord and Honour. And it says in here, or at least it says in verse 1, All glory, Lord and honour to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet Hosannas ring. I used to sing that at school. And I sang that and I thought, well, who is this girl Hosanna and who's she getting married to? And why are they making her a ring with their lips? Oh, it's all very strange. I thought it was a girl's name. Is it a girl's name? That sounded a very grown-up voice. What about the younger voices? No. Did you say no? I couldn't hear you. Come on. One, two, three. Oh, dear. Obviously, because you lost an hour's sleep last night, you're still fast asleep. Well, let me tell you, it's time to wake up! You woken up? No, they're all still fast asleep. Oh, well, never mind. The word Hosanna means, save, we pray. Or, to put it another way, Lord, save us. That's what Hosanna means. And so when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they all waved the palm branches and said, Hosanna! They were talking to him and saying, Lord, save us. So you can write that down. Lord, save us, or save, we pray, is what it literally means. And then you can show your Sunday school teachers how clever you are next time by saying, we know what it means. But you'll only be able to do that if you've listened and you remember. Now, today is, let's see if you remembered, today is, well, they're also engrossed in their sheets, today is Mother's Day. It's a special day for us to remember our mothers and remember all the things that they do for us. Now, pay attention, how many of you took your mother's breakfast in bed this morning? One, two, three, four. Very good. Four and a half. Five. Yes, I wonder how many mothers had a gingerbread man for breakfast this morning. Good. Well, I'm glad to see there were some of you. What things are you going to do today to show how much you love your mum? Are you going to eat all the food that's on your plate at dinner time? Even the greens and the swede? Are you? Are you going to do the washing up today? Right, you've got a volunteer there. Don't let him get away with it. He's going to do the washing up for you. Unless he does what some people do, which is they're washing up the first plate, and then they drop it on the floor accidentally. And then mum says, no, no, you're not doing any more of those. Let me do it. What are you going to do to show your mum how grateful you are for all the things she does for you? What does your mum often tell you to do? Why don't you be good? Does your mum ever tell you that? Does she? She must do. Tells you all the time to be good. How often are you not good? Anybody ever good all the time? I knew there'd be one. There always is. But not, are we? You're not a good boy all the time, are you? Have you ever been told off? Yes. Of course you have. We all have. So one of the best ways in which we can show our mums how grateful we are to them is by being good. Do you know what happens when we're not good? You ever seen your mum walking around going, ah? That's usually because you've not been good. It's usually because you've been very bad and your mum is thinking, I can't stand this anymore. And they feel like putting their hands round your throat and squeezing tight. Well, that wouldn't be nice, would it? And she doesn't want to do that really. But when you're really, really bad. Sometimes perhaps you've seen your mum sitting in a chair with her head between her knees and she's crying. She's crying because you've been bad. That's not a nice way to treat your mum, is it? Because she does all the things that she does for you. And you do things that make her either very angry or very, very sad. So being good is a way that you can show your mum how much you love her. And also, you can show your mum how much you love her by being helpful. By doing the things that she tells you to do. Not just eating all your greens and all the other food that's on your plate. Not just doing the washing up. But going to bed when you're told to. And getting up when you're told to. Now, there's a song that was sung many years ago, before many of you were born, where the person singing it says, my mum's rotten because she makes me go to bed when I'm wide awake. And then when I'm fast asleep, the next morning, she makes me wake up. She does that because she loves you and cares for you. And when you do what is good and you're helpful to your mum, very often, but not always, but very often, she might give you something. You might get a reward for being good. We could ask ourselves, are we good enough for our mums? Do we do enough good things and helpful things for them? And do we do the good things just so that we will get a reward? I wonder how many of you do things just so you'll get a reward. Does this mean that the only way you'll ever get a reward out of your mum, or out of your dad as well, is by being good. And does that mean that your mum and dad only love you as you're good? And so the better you are, the more they love you, and the worse you are, the less they love you? Well, I think you know from all the naughty things you've ever done that they still love you even when you're naughty. They might shout at you. They might tell you off. They might even use something on your bottom that hurts. But they do all those things because they love you. But if we are still loved by our mums and our dads, even when we do naughty things, what about God? And when we do naughty things to God? Some people think that if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be good. I wonder if you think that. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to be good. They think the only way to get to heaven is to be good. And if you're not going to go to heaven, then you must be pretty bad. Well, if you think that, I've got news for you this morning. There are no good people in heaven. I'll say that again in case you think I slipped up. There are no good people in heaven. We read in one of those Bible readings about a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus, we read, was a great ruler, a great leader of his country. But he wasn't a sort of John Major figure, or a Neil Kinnock, or a Paddy Ashdown, or a Lord David Such, because we've got to be fair and politically balanced here. He was a religious leader. So he was more of an Archbishop of Canterbury, or a Pope. He was the big man in charge of all the people, all the Jews in Israel. And he gave them an example to follow. He did what was right. And he went around and said, well, I always do the right things. I always wash my hands. Always brush my teeth. I always wash behind my ears. I always go to bed at the right time. I even eat all my greens off my plate. And I always do, or he always did, because his mother was probably dead by then, because he was probably quite old. He always did what his mother had told him to do. He always did what was right. And he looked at the Bible and he said, the Bible tells me to do this. I will do it. The Bible tells me that I mustn't do that, so I won't do it. And he went through all his life saying, that's wrong, so I won't do that. And that's right, so I will do that. And people would have said he was a good man. But you know what Jesus said to him? Jesus said to him, you are not going to heaven. You are not going to heaven. Jesus said, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's put it another way, he cannot go to heaven. So here we have this good man, this very good man. He appears to have done everything he was ever told he's got to do, and avoided all the things he was told not to do. And Jesus says to him, you're not going to heaven. Well, what on earth do we need to do then, if we're going to go to heaven? Jesus makes it clear we don't go to heaven by being good. Basically, because we are not good. You don't have to think back to childhood to remember those times when you've done things that are wrong. Because all of us, whether we're young or old, have a thing called a conscience. A conscience is that thing inside us that when we start to do something wrong, it says, oi! You shouldn't do that. That's naughty. That's wrong. And we say to ourselves, oh! Well, I won't do it then. Don't we? Always? No, we don't. We say, well, it might be a little bit naughty, but I like it, so I'm going to do it anyway. And our conscience tells us off again. It says, but it's wrong. And we still do it. And we might feel awful afterwards. But we've still done it. Because we're not good. In here, in our hearts, we're bad. And so it's not surprising when we read in the Bible that God is angry with us. I think there's someone over there who's going to be someone's going to be angry with in a moment. Don't panic. God is angry with us because we've done things that are wrong. Your mum and dad, when you do things that are wrong, God is they are angry with you. And they tell you off. When we do things that are wrong, God is angry with us. Well, then we read about another man. Joanna read to us about a man called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was very different indeed from Nicodemus. Zacchaeus would have walked around in very smart suits. If he'd have been living today, he'd have driven a Rolls Royce. If I mention the name Arthur Daly, I'm sure most of you know who that is. He was a bit of an Arthur Daly because he was a tax collector. Now, you ask your mum and dad, do you like the tax man? And they'll all say, no, because he takes my money away. Well, that's what Zacchaeus' job was, but Zacchaeus was worse than that. The tax man today does what the law requires. And he says, you earn this much money, therefore I'll take that much. And he takes exactly the right amount. Well, usually. But Zacchaeus said, right, well, the government needs that much money. And I think I'll have that and that and that as well. Because, well, I need another Rolls Royce. I need to buy another house. I need some smarter clothes. I mean, I've only been wearing these for a week and they're worn out already. So Zacchaeus was really a crook. He was dishonest. He stole people's money. And he could steal people's money and get away with it because he was in charge. If someone said, I'm not going to pay you, he'd have gone off and he'd have got the Roman soldiers and you'd have been thrown into prison because he is the one who determined how much you had to pay. So he was an unpleasant person. He was a horrible person. He was the last person you'd want to meet on the street. In fact, if you met him on the street, you'd probably cross the road to avoid him. And yet, what do we find? Jesus comes to this man. Zacchaeus, there he was, we read here. Zacchaeus was a small man. So he'd have been like this. If you'd been in this pulpit, you'd have hardly seen him. He had to climb up a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus walks along and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea. Now what would you think if that happened? That there's this wicked thief, this awful man that steals your money. And Jesus comes along and says, hi Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to tea. You think, well, I don't think much of that. He's not coming to my house for tea. Why is he going to that man's house for tea? He's an awful man. And that's what the people said. Why is he going to see that man and not coming to see me? But Zacchaeus said, Lord, if I've done all these things wrong in the past, now I'm going to stop doing them. And I'm going to do what is right. And Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house, he says. What he means is that God had forgiven Zacchaeus for everything he'd ever done wrong. But that's not fair. Isn't that what something you think? That's not fair. Why should God forgive Zacchaeus all those awful things he's done? And he doesn't forgive Nicodemus. Well, actually, he did forgive Nicodemus, but that was a little bit later.
is he forgiving someone who's so awful and not forgiving me? Suppose I ask you the question, do you know that God has forgiven you for all the things you've ever done wrong? Most of you would probably say, well, no, I don't know that. I would like to believe that's true, but I can't say that I know it's true. If you'd have asked Zacchaeus that question after this, Zacchaeus would have said, yes, I know that God has forgiven me. He said, but why? That's not fair. Such an awful man, and God forgives him. How come I don't know that God's forgiven me? Well, the reason is, and Jesus says it in the next verse, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you think that you're good, if you think you're going to heaven because you're good, then Jesus can't help you. And he won't be able to forgive you. Because the first step in anyone being ever forgiven for anything is to admit that you're wrong. It's to admit that you need to be forgiven. And if you stand there and say, but I've never done anything wrong, then you'll never be forgiven. If you stand there and say, but I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl, then you'll never be forgiven by God. It's only when you say to God, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I have done bad things, that is when God can forgive you. You want to know what you need to do to please God? You need to admit that. You need to admit that you're wrong. You need to admit you've done wrong. You need to admit that you need his forgiveness. And then you need to ask God to help you. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to trust Jesus Christ to forgive you for all you've ever done wrong. We're going in a moment to sing a closing hymn. Quite a well-known one. It's There Is a Green Hill Far Away. Now many of you know this. But that's what this hymn says. I learnt this when I was in Sunday school. And this helped me to be forgiven by God. Because I can say that in spite of all the awful things I've done, thankfully none of you know all the awful things I've done, God has forgiven me. And the verse that I found most helpful was the third one. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Because Jesus died, Jesus was punished for our wrongdoing, so that we might be forgiven by God and we might go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? Then don't say, I will be good. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to say, I want to go to heaven, but I'm bad. God, forgive me. Help me. Help me to trust in Jesus Christ. And then you will show God how much you love him by doing what he says. But the first thing you must do is to believe in Jesus Christ and trust him. And then you will know that you're forgiven. You will know that you're going to heaven. And you will seek to do what God tells you to do.